This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, we'll discuss a proposed tax levy to help fund Metro bus service. First, brightly painted, repurposed newspaper stands are popping up all over Cincinnati. Inside, you won't find papers, but non-perishable items for anyone in need. Lisa Andrews started her first tiny food bank called the People's Pantry Cincy in Pleasant Ridge. With a grant from People's Liberty, she's branching out to 10 local neighborhoods, including Walnut Hills, where the recent closing of Kroger has created a food desert in that community. Here to discuss the neighborhood pantries and innovative food solutions are People's Pantry Cincy founder Lisa Andrews and Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Healthy Outreach Coordinator Gary Dangle. You can join us, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Lisa and Gary, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Lisa, tell us how this whole idea came to be in the first place.
It actually started with a Facebook feed. I saw a Facebook feed that was a little pantry that was started in Arkansas, and I was intrigued by it. I'm a dietitian by trade, and I'm a strong proponent of people eating. And so I posted it on our neighborhood page and thought, you know, hey, I would love to see this happen. And the next thing I knew, somebody in the neighborhood said they could build it. Somebody from one of the local churches said that we could have it on their lot. And the next thing I knew, it just took off. So after I saw that happen, you know, I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. That actually worked. And a friend of mine told me about People's Liberty. I'd actually never heard of them before. So I went to a meeting and wrote up a grant for the idea to have 10 more of them placed in low-income food desert neighborhoods in Cincinnati.
And now, where did the newspaper boxes come from? How did you gather all those?
Sure. So my friend, Jason Beidelman, who's actually a builder by trade, we were talking about this project. And he suggested Enquirer boxes. And, you know, he could have built something. And, you know, we kind of talked about the boxes being waterproof and handicapped accessible and actually sort of disappearing from the street because everything's gone digital.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really by the grace of God, I met somebody that knew somebody in distribution from the Enquirer, and we connected. And we got our first box, I think, in January. And then we kind of begged for the rest of them. So they came from the Enquirer. They were a donation from the Enquirer.
And these are decorated in various different ways?
Yes. So part of the project was to kind of create them like the pig program, you know, the pigs mm-hmm. around Cincinnati, how they're all different. We found artists. Some of them were from the actual neighborhoods that we chose, and then some of them were just some personal friends and artists that we knew that were interested in the project. So most of the artists had met with what we call a champion in each neighborhood. So I championed the one in Pleasant Ridge. And then we went to various meetings and community council meetings and church meetings and neighborhood meetings and about any meeting I could show up to or coffee shop around the city and found people that were interested in managing the box and monitoring it. And so the artist would connect with that person and come up with an idea of what they wanted the box to look like, and then each artist decorate them all differently.
So what kind of food and items are in these boxes?
Primarily what you had mentioned, so non-perishable food.
So you've got canned food items and that kind of thing?
Sure, canned food, peanut butter, canned vegetables, but then we also want people to donate toiletries because those are items that people can't get on food stamps. So feminine products, shampoo, conditioner, bar soap, that sort of thing.
So are there even recipes in the boxes too? Did I hear that right?
That's sort of the last phase of our project.
That's still to come yet?
We're still sort of spinning that idea. So one of my partners on the project is Mary Seguin, and she's a food stylist. And so we really wanted to come from a food angle of what can people make out of a simple can of beans or you know, a tiny bag of ramen that's not your traditional stuff that doesn't take a lot of ingredients or a lot of time. So we're still trying to figure out how we might put the recipes either in the box or on the actual website where we've been sort of monitoring the progress of the project itself.
So, Lisa, obviously you're trying to reduce hunger in
sure.
various neighborhoods
right.
around Cincinnati. What are some of the other aims of this program beyond that?
A lot of it is, we sort of had a tagline of nourish the neighborhood. So, you know, when the grant was written, you know, it was during election season, and there just seemed to be so much dividedness and divisiveness among individuals that we wanted to do something to kind of get people to collaborate together in their community to sort of love your neighbor type of aspect. So some of it is reducing food insecurity, although we don't really, other than personal stories that people have provided, we don't really have a way to monitor, you know, how much it's really impacting people. But it's just a way for people to kind of talk and communicate and care for each other. So that was one of the other aims.
Gary, two of the boxes are in Walnut Hills. What's the situation in Walnut Hills? You had Kroger, who just pulled out, what, March? They closed their store, I believe it was. Yeah, what kind of impact has that had?
Right. So in March, Kroger decided to close as the Coryville store was opening. And that immediately turned Walnut Hills into a food desert, even though that Kroger is fairly close to our neighborhood. We have a high percentage of people who do not have personal transportation. So that's the qualification for being a food desert. So right around the Kroger lot are many senior citizen centers. And these are people that have physical disabilities or people that are older, typically do not have personal transportation. So what it does, it puts them immediately into a hardship situation where either have to jump on the bus, you know, and that's very difficult in the middle of winter. There are a lot of single moms in Walnut Hills, and so the idea of putting a couple kids on a bus in the middle of winter and going to a grocery store and then lugging all your groceries back is a very difficult thing. So we're trying to come up with some short-term solutions to that situation.
So what is the nearest grocery store, nearest Kroger now?
The one in Coryville that just opened is 1.3 miles from the previous Walnut Hills,
right?
Kroger.
So if like you're saying, if you're elderly, if you're a senior, you're not going to walk that.
You're not walking, and it's across a interstate bridge as well. So it's not an easy stroll through a neighborhood to get to the Coryville Kroger.
What are some of the solutions that you're looking at right now?
So we're trying a couple things, just a kind of a rapid prototype approach to do a short-term solution. What we've been doing for the last 3 months is Healthy Harvest Mobile Market, and that's a free store food bank program that's sponsored by TriHealth. We do that. It's a pickup truck with a 20-foot trailer on the back, and it's kind of like a grocery aisle, a produce aisle on wheels. So they come into the old Kroger parking lot. They set up on Friday from 1 until 3 o'clock. And you can buy, you know, typically the things that you would find in a produce stand. And that's locally sourced. So it's like what you'd be accustomed to buying in a Kroger.
Yeah. You think more of these pantries like Lisa has set up that would be beneficial for a community like yours?
Absolutely. I think these are lifelines. So what we're doing right now are lifelines for people that typically do not have access and what Lisa's providing will make a big difference in some people's day. It's located right next to Open Door, which is a community pantry that Church of the Advent has. And we have a fair number of people that are food insecure. And so these types of what we would consider to be little things can make a huge difference in how their day is going.
Lisa, the 10 that you have, or I think it's just 9 at this point. Number 10 is still to come. Right. Where are those 9 located at this point?
Sure. So we actually have 2 in Walnut Hills, and it was sort mm-hmm. of a fluke because I met Gary through some dietitians in the city that put me in touch with him because Walnut Hills was one of our targeted neighborhoods. And one of the churches had an Enquire box on site. So they agreed to do it, and then the Church of the Advent also agreed to do it. So the other site is at 950 Nassau, and it's right across from the First Step Homes in Walnut Hills, which serve single mothers that are being treated for substance abuse. So the others are in Over the Rhine in West End, Winton Hill, East Price Hill. Those are some of the other neighborhoods where they're located.
And how these work is just you take what you need from the box and leave what you can?
Yes. Yeah, so we actually had social media training for the champions to learn how to engage their neighborhood to sort of use social media in encouraging people. So a lot of it is just word of mouth. So people can donate at any time of the day, and people can come and take out what they need. I guess one of the, you know, one of the criticisms that we've had is, you know, what do you do if somebody comes and wipes everything out? And, you know, we've seen that happen in Pleasant Ridge. And my response is, I can't judge what somebody's going to do after it's been gifted. So I'm not going to go and yell at somebody to put a can of beans back. It's that's not my place to police it. And
when you have to be thinking, if they took it all, they probably needed
they
it
probably
all in the first place.
It, sure. Yeah. Or they're going to share it with their neighbors or whatever it is. I can't judge what's going to happen. So, but there are two in Walnut Hills, primarily because we did have an extra box. The last one will be placed in Camp Washington. And that one is the only word I can say for it is it's pretty amazing. It's being designed by Sean Mullaney, who is a very integral part of our project. He donated his warehouse space for us to rehab the boxes. He's an ex-toy designer, so we're actually going to put it in a refugee garden in Camp Washington on July 10th.
Have you been able to gauge, other than seeing boxes that are getting a lot of use or even being cleared out, have you been able to gauge the reaction to these and how people are utilizing them?
It's actually been really positive. So I've tried to, I've been reaching out to each champion at least, probably at least twice a month, if not more frequently, just to see how things are going. Like, are you getting donations? Are they frequently empty? Is it full? Are people using it? What kind of reaction are you getting? And Reverend Salas has told me it's been very positive, that it's been very helpful for people that just don't have any other food. So even if it's just, you know, to me, I know it's not going to solve the childhood poverty in Cincinnati. But if, you know, two people don't go hungry for an evening, then that's great. That's all I'm looking for.
Now, how do people make donations?
It just really goes just so that we have a Facebook page where all the locations are listed, mm-hmm. so they can find out where they are in their neighborhood. And basically, you just drive up, park, bring your items and leave them there.
And we will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and here to discuss neighborhood food pantries and innovative food solutions are People's Pantry Cincy founder Lisa Andrews and Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Healthy Outreach Coordinator Gary Dangle. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Gary, as far as the situation in Walnut Hills goes, you've been out talking to people in the community about how they want to resolve the fact that the Kroger has closed and now Walnut Hills is a food desert. What are some of the things that people are saying? What were some of the things they'd like to see happen to resolve this?
Right. We spent the first 4 months of the year doing grocery surveys. So we did those within the Kroger while it was still open. Then we also went to different apartment buildings and reached out to various people in the neighborhood to ask them where do they want to get their groceries. So some people just want a Kroger back. So that's not going to happen. So the alternative is a lot of people like the idea of having a co-op, especially if it's a worker-owned and operated co-op, similar to what they'll be doing in Northside. And we've also discussed one of the popular ones that came up was to do a series of storefronts that was kind of what we're calling a hybrid model, where you'd have a produce stand in one storefront, you'd have a deli, you might have a bakery, you might have a coffee shop, you might have a florist. And those would be contiguous storefronts, but that would be also be open within. So you could walk from one store to the other. And you wouldn't necessarily use every store every day, but it would provide many of the amenities that you would get from a grocery store. So that's something that we'd like to prototype in Walnut Hills. We're a finalist for an Art Place America grant. It's a $100,000 grant. We're one of 70 finalists out of 1,000 applicants throughout the country. So we're going to have a site visit on July 20th in the old Kroger parking lot. We'd like everybody in the neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods to come out. We're going to have Finley Farm Stand will be open selling locally or grown organic produce. And then we're going to have music and activities for the kids and that sort of thing. So we're going to show the folks from New York how we do it in Walnut Hills.
You know, one of the the big ouches of losing the Kroger was that wasn't just a grocery store. That was a community touch point, wasn't it? That was a place where people could socialize a bit and talk to each other and meet their neighbors.
Yeah, exactly. It was what we call one of our third places, and it really was the largest third place. We have our churches, and we have our rec center, and we have our schools, library, but the Kroger is 32,000 square feet, and I never went in there quickly. I would go in there with the intention of getting something quickly, but you always ran into your friends and neighbors in there, and you would have kind of that serendipitous conversation that makes everybody's day a little bit better, and you then have a connection to your neighbors that's a little bit tighter.
And joining us now, Church of the Advent Reverend Stacy Salas. Stacy, Reverend Salas, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. You're one of the champions with the Pantry Project. Tell us what
That's correct.
Tell us what that role is about. What's involved in doing that?
Well, making sure that there is food in the box or toiletries, and also making sure that the proper things are in there. So double checking to make sure that there aren't expired items in there. I kind of have a really cool story to share. One of our neighbors, she's a character in the neighborhood, but she told me she saw somebody take out a peanut butter jar and taste it and then put it on herself. And this is one of the folks that is, food starved, like or food insecure. But she says, I took that peanut butter jar out and I threw it away because that shouldn't have happened. So it's kind of cool to even have the neighbors that are using the facility kind of keeping an eye on it. So that just lets you know how precious the program is.
What are some of the other reactions you've seen, Reverend Salas? Is the box getting a lot of use that you're seeing?
It is. We have people living in an apartment across the street. Some of them have put food in there, and it's hard to keep the food in there. When I was putting food in, one of the guys that we know is homeless, he just thanked us for the food. It comes in real handy when there's a holiday and Open Door Ministries isn't open, or on the weekend or at the end of the month when people's, checks aren't coming. And so they've been real happy with what they're getting out of it. I tend to try to put, and I've encouraged people to put, if they're going to put food in, to put cans that have the pop top, because I don't know how many homeless people might be carrying a can opener with them. So,
Lisa, how crucial are the champions to making this program work?
I think the champions are very crucial because we need somebody that's kind of dedicated to monitor the pantry and get feedback from neighbors and then be able to reach out to other people so they're not the sole person putting food in it. When we started the one in Pleasant Ridge, I would check it periodically, but then before I knew, I would go up to place something and it would already be full, or some days it would be completely empty. So we basically encouraged the champions to be somebody that was already really engaged in their neighborhood. At Walnut Hills, the other champion, along with Reverend Salas, is Jessica Zaccagnini. She's also a dietitian, and she's very passionate about food issues. So we wanted somebody that was sort of already ingrained in the neighborhood to be able to help out with it.
Are you partnering with any other organizations in town to do this?
Well, Trader Joe's has sort of adopted the one in Pleasant Ridge. I had a connection with Trader Joe's, and they actually reached out to us. So they donate food once a month. We still need to reach out to other companies that aren't already donating some of their food to the free store, because a lot of it, since we're not a nonprofit, we don't have a tax ID number to say, that we could get donations from Kroger or other grocery stores. But that's our hope. That some other companies will hopefully donate that have other supplies.
Let's talk to Carmela. Good afternoon, Carmela.
Hi, good afternoon. So my family and I buy wholesale food in bulk. And, we can't finish it. We're only a family of three, and I try to give it away to other people. But I'm wondering if I can repackage food like trail mix or rice, non-perishables that we buy in bulk, but we can't finish off very quickly. I know there are food safety concerns, but, they're relatively innocuous.
So I appreciate the donation. I think my only fear is that we would prefer things that are already sealed and packaged and not been opened or touched, just because of the risk of contamination. I hate to turn those things down, but at the same time, even things like pasta boxes where there's that little cellophane window where it can potentially break and bugs could get in, I would just be afraid that, you know, it could be opened or contaminated in some sense. So we really prefer things that are not expired and have not already been previously opened.
Susie DeYoung in Atlas Soup is doing a lot of work to take upcycle food that's donated from Kroger or from various other locations that have extra food, and she turns them into delicious soup and then dispenses them to people that are food insecure.
Reverend Salas, the Church of the Advent, in fact, Gary brought this up earlier, you have your own food pantry going on there, and I'm wondering if you can tell us about that.
Well, the Open Door Food Pantry is open on Mondays through Fridays from 9:30 to 11:30. People can come in and get coffee and donuts. On Tuesday and Thursday, they also give out soup or pasta dishes or whatever. But they can also come in and get food from our pantry.
And Lisa, what are the plans for growing the pantries that you're working on?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had at least...
You're going to have 10 pretty soon.
Yeah, we're going to have 10 pretty soon. We did have one neighborhood that pulled out at the last minute. So somebody had asked, you know, we sent out a press release today that said we have 10 neighborhoods and 11 pantries. Well, we have 9 neighborhoods, so we need one more. We're working with one right now to potentially get one. But future... not sure, to be honest. I mean, we put together a booklet of how to start a pantry, appropriate donations. There's also information about safety. There's a Bill Emerson, Good Samaritan Food Act, so people know that if somebody, like the example that Reverend Salas gave, if somebody puts their finger in the peanut butter and then sticks it back in the jar, you know, like that we're not held liable for something that we're trying to be helpful for. Maybe in the future we'll have a bigger grant or some way to continue to fund the program.
Thank you very much. We appreciate everybody joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
People's Pantry, Cincy founder Lisa Andrews, Church of the Advent Reverend Stacy Salas, and Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation Healthy Outreach Coordinator Gary Dangle.